Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your goodness. We're so thankful for your love. And Lord, I just pray you would speak to us this morning. And Lord, just open up the word to us. And we just thank you that if you wouldn't reveal these things to us, we would never know them. And Lord, you're giving us insight into what you are doing. So we thank you for that in advance. I pray you'd anoint me. And I just speak words of the Spirit. And that each person would be able to receive from your Spirit, Lord. And so we just give it to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As you may notice, I've been gone for 2 weeks and Linda and I thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. We feel all rested up. I want to thank you, Rich and Greg, for filling in for me. They did an outstanding job, and I watched both messages. You know, I was like, way to go. So they did an outstanding job. Really appreciate them stepping up and sharing what the Lord was doing in their heart. So praise God for them. This morning, we're going to be looking at the book of Hosea, in Hosea. So if you want to turn to Hosea, flip around, you find that in the Old Testament. If you go to Daniel, you're real close. You're real close if you go to Daniel and then book over. But so, Hosea, we're going to look at this section. Let us start off with Hosea chapter 10. Verse 12. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, just in context where this book is, and helps us a little bit understand this verse, the prophet Hosea is prophesying to Israel, and God is not happy with them at all. And so he's telling them, said, you know, you better get your act together, is basically what he's telling Israel. He said, you better, because, this is not going to end well for you. So, I mean, that's really what the whole book of Hosea is. But in this section, he literally tells them what to do. And I think this very much applies to us today in this time of uncertainty and chaos. We're just like, well, what's going on? What do you do? What is God doing? And I always, you know, feel comfortable that God knows exactly what he's doing. I don't, but I feel comfortable that he does. And so I think even the time of Hosea, the time of now, in this chaos and these uncertain times, God is like, I'm doing something. I'm doing something. You need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to what I'm doing. And so we're going to look at that, and I think we have some good insights here. Now, he says, break up your fallow ground. And what fallow ground means is unplowed ground, okay, for, you know, any of you farmer wannabes, okay, that's what fallow ground is. It's unplowed ground. And so he's saying, break up your unplowed ground. So in this setting, what he's saying, therefore, we need, in this chaos and all this uncertainty, he's saying we need to break up the unplowed ground. And why you break up unplowed ground? Because you plant new seeds and you get new growth. So he's saying break up the unplowed ground so we can see some new growth. So we can need some new growth so that we can see some new things from the Lord. And take it back. God's talking to Israel. So listen, you better change this thing up. You need to better break up this unplowed ground, plant some new seeds, and see some new growth, new things from the Lord. Well, that's what he's telling us today. Break up this unplowed ground, and we need to see some new growth, some new things from the Lord. Now, this means that this is necessary to break up this unplowed ground. This is necessary to experience the things God has for us that are yet untouched. Let that sink in. That's what he's saying. Is anybody here said, you know, I just got this great walk with the Lord. Me and Jesus are doing good. I'm as good as I can get. You know, nobody can ever say that because God is perfect. He's infinite, and he's constantly bringing us to a place where we're supposed to be. And so what he's saying, that God is saying, I've got some stuff for you. I have some stuff for you, and you don't even know what it is. It is totally untouched by you. And it's so much untouched by you, you don't even have a clue what it is. So therefore, what you need to do is break up your unplowed ground, plant, and you're going to see things of God that you didn't even know I had for you. So that's what he's saying. So the breaking up of unplowed ground is necessary to see the things from God that are yet untouched. You know, he said, we want to grow in the Lord. Well, how about receiving from the Lord things that not even touched yet? Not even touched yet. And that's what he's saying. And so when you look at this and you think about what's going on here, the task of breaking up unplowed ground is totally within our capability and our responsibility. Now, see, God does not come and plow up our ground. He tells us, you break up the ground. That's our capacity and our responsibility. So he's telling us something. There's something on us in this for this to happen. And so we see that there's the breaking up of the ground. But also in this, we need to understand something. There's one thing we cannot do in this farming picture. There's one thing we cannot do, and there's one thing we cannot live without, and that's rain. You can plow from now on, so if there's no rain, nothing's going to happen. So you need to have rain. You need to have rain for there to be any growth. In fact, Paul even tells us this, and again, the reason I bring this up, so we understand the whole picture of what God's telling us. He's given us all the details. In fact, that's what I find out in the Bible the more I read it. He's given us all the details. You know, I just spent half my life, all my life, not understanding what he said. But when I read it, I say, oh, that's what you meant. That's the same thing you told me like 20 years ago, but I had no clue what that meant. You know, I even memorized it. Still didn't know what it meant. But it's like, oh, that's what you meant. And so God has really given us everything we need. Our point is to have him reveal what it is and then obedient to what he tells us. But that's what the wonderful thing about the scriptures. So the whole picture is, oh, yeah, you the capacity, the responsibility, plow up the ground, plant the seed. I give the rain. I give the rain. See, and so what it says, the Apostle Paul says the same thing, and we have an overhead for this. Apostle Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 3:6. The Apostle Paul says, God gives growth. You know, God gives growth. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says this, I planted, Paul's talking, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. See, so you see God's divine hand in this. You know, it tells us something by ourselves. You ever, you know, I did everything I was supposed to do. Why didn't this work? It's because God gives the growth. See, that's what happens when we do things without the Lord. You know, it's hard to think, see the productivity because he's the one who gives the growth. And that's what he's telling us. He's telling us this right here. Now, God will, so we understand that now, none of us would even argue with that, say God will bring his rain and give his growth. Okay, all God's people said what? Amen. Yeah, absolutely. But here's what's interesting. I mean, you should write this down. I mean, few things I say you should write down, but you should write this one down. Write it down. However, God gives the rain, he gives the growth. However, God does not bring abundant, life-giving rain until we do our part by breaking up the unplowed ground. He's not going to bring rain on our unplowed ground. You know, I don't know about you, but I find myself, I'm praying for God to rain on my unplowed ground. You know, just bring it, God. You know, I'm just pretty good. Just bring it. He goes, you have some unplowed ground. You need to break up that unplowed ground. There's a responsibility. Not only there's a responsibility, you have the capability. So each one of us have unplowed ground. How do I know that? Because, unless I'm badly mistaken, none of you are perfect. I mean, if anyone do a hand raise, anybody perfect? Well, if you're not perfect, that means you have unplowed ground. Jesus is perfect, okay? And he's teaching us to do and be the way he wants us to be. And so he's constantly saying, you need to plow this up here, and I'll give you some rain. But you need to plow up here. But you need to put in some effort in the plowing, and I'm going to pour out the rain. But if you just look over there and go, you rain, you give it some rain, then I show up. Not going to do it. It's not going to do it. And so this is what's saying here. This is what the Lord is saying here. So God does not bring abundant, life-giving rain until we do our part in breaking up our unplowed ground. Now, it's fertile ground. It just needs plowed up so we can put seed in it. Put seed in it. The fresh seeking of the Lord, this is unplowed ground. Okay, this is where we're going. This fresh seeking of the Lord causes God's poured out presence on every area of our life. God wants you pouring out your blessing. I mean, get off your butt and plow some ground. You know? See, it's an engaging, and as you think about how the Lord works, it's us engaging in a relationship with him. And he's given us an understanding of what that is, all right? And so, I mean, he's always good on his part. I mean, I figured that out, okay? I figured he's good on his part. When this end's not working out, I usually can find the person that's at fault, you know. It's me, you know. And I think, but God, anybody have any of you ever done that? But God, it's like, that's not good, you know, because that just really is setting you up. No, you really don't know. Or you wouldn't say, but God. So this is what he's telling us. So we're having some good insight here. And again, so what are we looking? God says, you know, I don't want you to stay where you are. I wanted you to move forward. And as you move forward, this fresh seeking of the Lord, and I think it's appropriate to use it here. It's a fresh seeking of the Lord. You know, you hear people say, oh, I just want more of you. And I never could quite understand. I don't know how I got here and I want more. But then when I look at it like this, I see this. There's a fresh seeking of the Lord because I want to experience his poured out presence in my life. And the thing of it is, when you plow up that ground and you experience that seeking, fresh seeking of the Lord, he blesses you and pours out rain in every area of your life. Every area. Look at Matthew 6:33. Have it on overhead. Matthew 6:33 says this: but seek first, if you have your Bible, or if you have your iPad or anything, circle that in your Bible or highlight it in your iPad, iPhone. It's first. This is how go before the Lord. He's okay, but first, seek his kingdom. But first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the things he does right. His kingdom and his right. Oh, God, you and you do this, and it is right. So I'm seeking you and your what you've done that's right. See, so we're in step with God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. I'll give you all this other stuff. I'll just bring it in the truckloads. Just because I'm not worried, I'll just bring it in. And I can do it. I can just bring it in the truckload. But first, seek the kingdom, my righteousness. And I'll bring in the truckloads for everything. Because with that state of mind, he can release everything around us. Amen? Does that make sense? I mean, this is what he's telling us. Now, again, I won't back up because this is where context really helps too, is that in Israel, what he did, he told these people, Hosea told them, okay? He, you know, Hosea had the job, the job of the prophet. He says, go tell the king. And what he told him said, I am going to wipe you off the face of the earth. That's who wants that message? You know, I'd be there like, well, tell him. You know, he can tell him. I'll be busy that day. And it's like, but he, no, that's your. What he's told Israel, I mean, he's got this message, but what he's put this caveat here. So we're making an application into these crazy times we live in. I think everybody will say, they are crazy times. Well, it's the same thing, you know, and God's going, no, what I'm telling you to do now is plow up your ground and see the freshness of God. And if you put his kingdom first, his righteousness, I'll give you everything. See, we're praying for everything. He goes, no, put me first and I give you everything. And by the way, it makes shorter prayers. I mean, when you start praying for everything, I mean, that's a long list of everything. You ever have a long list of everything? And what I do, I get through my everything list and I go, God, you know the rest of the list, that too. I mean, because my list gets too long. You know, it's just good grief. You know, and God said, that's right. You seek me first, and I'll give you everything. I mean, that's the principle behind this. Now, what we see here, and what's interesting, this is kind of close to the same time. Hosea is in the northern tribes of Israel. In the southern tribes, you got Judah. And they're doing a little better, but they're shaky. Okay? And God's about to deal with them also. He sends them Jeremiah. He says, listen, you're not listening. So he sends Jeremiah. He says, go tell them. He says, tell Judah, if they don't get their act together, this is what I'm going to do. But look at what Jeremiah tells Judah. So what I'm getting at is it Hosea, Jeremiah, me, you. It's the same message. Message doesn't change. All right? Message doesn't change. So Jeremiah also encourages the southern church. By the way, when Jeremiah had his message, God already dealt with Israel and wiped them off the face of the earth. The Assyrians did it. I mean, how many of you ever, you know, God says, let's go over and, you know, meet somebody from the tribe of Naphtali. You know why you don't do that? Because they ain't here. He wiped them off the face of the earth. The northern tribes, they're gone. They're absolutely gone. Okay, they didn't live. So God did. I told you, you didn't do it. Okay, that's fine. You know, you knew the game. That's it. Now he's telling Jeremiah, golly, Judah. Now here, they're not paying any attention. So I'm going to send them Jeremiah. You know, and I'm sure, and Jeremiah is more expressive than Hosea. Jeremiah said, I don't want to go. He just said, I don't want to go. Why are you picking on me? I mean, he does it. I mean, he is called, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He bellyached the whole time. His whole ministry, he bellyached. That kind of makes me feel better when I bellyache, you know. So me and Jeremiah, we kind of got this thing going, bellyaching anyway. So here's Jeremiah. God said, go talk to Judah. They're not paying attention. And what he tells them, Jeremiah tells them, go break up your unplowed ground and do not continue to sow in the thorns. I mean, all God's got to do is just repeat himself. Look at this, Jeremiah 4:3. Jeremiah, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. I mean, that's the message. See, he's telling us. Same thing. All the same thing. Now, okay, so we're looking at this picture. God has given us some insights and some understanding, you know, and again, the insights are understanding so we make a connection with God, be obedient to God and do what God says. All right, that's the whole point here. And so now, some understanding, and I think it's fascinating, especially you read the Old Testament, it uses a lot of farming analogies, you know, farming. And, you know, being an old kind of rancher and things myself, I can really relate to some of those things. You know, those fish, I really can. If you ever were there, it kind of makes more sense. I mean, you don't have to be there. But anyway, it just comes. We know that anytime you do some plowing, I haven't done much plowing, but I've seen other people do plowing, all right? Okay. It requires a commitment. You know, they say, okay, let's go plow this field. Okay, I got about 30 minutes. I'll give you 30 minutes. No, you need to get 4 in the morning and you'll quit at 9 at night. And by that, you'll do that for the next 2 weeks. You know, I mean, if you're going to plow it up, we're not talking about a little garden in the back. You know, I mean, this is what the livelihood of the people in the nation were. So farming requires a commitment. Like I'm going to say, I'm going to plow up this land. Okay, God, I gave you 30 minutes. Like, no, this is a commitment. You got a lot of land here, you know. A lot of land you need to break up here. And so likewise, breaking up our unplowed ground requires our commitment. It's a commitment. There is a commitment to plow up our ground. Because we're sickling along in the old ground. You know, we don't believe in rotation of fields. You know how that, I mean, for you non-farmers, a lot of times you rotate fields. You plant one crop here, then you rotate, or you leave one for a month or for a season and plant this one, don't plant that one, then you plant another. You know, I mean, it's like that. So you rotate. I said, some of us don't even rotate our fields. So, you know, I got this one crop, I'm hanging with it, you know. I'm not even going to fertilize it, but I'm hanging with what I got. That's what we do with our walk with the Lord. I'm just hanging with what I got. God goes, no. I want you to plow up this unplowed ground. I want you to have fresh seeking of the Lord. I want you to have some fresh growth. Fresh growth. And that's what he's telling us here. And so, and here's the thing. Breaking up unplowed ground is not easy. And we will have to change our patterns to be open to God's new movement. Okay? Now, see, I kind of want you to write that one down, too, all right? I mean, just think about this. You don't have to. I mean, just take notes on Scripture and let Scripture speak to you. But this is kind of what I think. Breaking up unplowed ground is not easy, and we will have to change our patterns and be open to God's new movement. Why do I have to plow up that field? I mean, it's good. I just want to stay in my field. It's been plowed up. You know, I'm kind of comfortable with my walk with the Lord. I'm kind of comfortable with what I know. And I'm just kind of comfortable, you know, just plugging along. I have a home in heaven. Hey, how can you get much better than that? See? And God's going, no, to plow up this ground, you're going to have to change some patterns in your life and be open. Be open to this new movement of God. Remember, this is something untouched by us. It's untouched. We haven't been here before. We haven't been here before. Now, you don't have to write this one down because you'll remember it. Because you're going to remember this. Since we normally do not do this on our own, amen. Okay, come on. You know me. I'm not the only one saying that. I don't do it. I don't think you do either. Since we normally do not do this on our own, God is faithful to turn the world upside down to get us started. Amen? I'm not plowing that field. You won't bet. You won't bet. But you know what you're going to do to me? I'm going to turn the whole world upside down. I'm going to stir everything in your life that you don't know up from down. I'm going to have you looking outside and you think, what in the world is going on? And I'm going to say, God, the whole world's falling apart. Lord, I don't understand what's happening. Oh, my God. You know, it's like, he can do that. Now, if I told you this in September, yeah, right. Yeah, right. I'm telling you today, you go, oh my God, yeah, it happened, didn't it? It happened, didn't it? This is just a funny, okay, please, this is a joke, but it's the truth. Carlos was, he said, Wallace, you have to videotape your messages. All right. It's like, plow up some unbroken ground. All right. But I'm happy in my ground, you know. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. This, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I didn't say I wasn't going to do it. I just said, yeah, Carlos, fine. And so Carlos has been telling me this for 5 years. 5 years. And I was, bless his heart, I was sure. It's like my kids. I didn't do that. Yeah. They didn't do nothing. You know, they just like, and so for 5 years, I didn't do nothing. And all of a sudden, nobody come to church. I mean, nobody. I mean, it's like, well, you can come. Well, nobody here but me. And it's like, well, that's no fun. That's no fun, you know. And so Amir and Woodskin, and they video the whole thing. And we're going to video it from now on. And so I just want you to know, we have a world pandemic. God brought a world pandemic to get me to video these messages. I mean, it's just me. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything in the world. It's just me. He says, you know, then no way. I told you, sent Carlos 5 years. Didn't move an inch. Not 1 minute. It will take a world pandemic to get Wallace to move. That's it. And it did. It worked. And we're doing it from now on here. And I feel so, I almost feel like, was that my idea? It was. But you see what I'm saying? Now that was a minor fruit to all this stuff. But that is the truth. That is the truth. And I'm like, it's 5 years, wasn't it, Carlos? I just nod. Yeah, that sounds wonderful. So, hallelujah. So what we have here, but wonderful is to look at. Now, the thing, I don't know, when we look at this worldwide pandemic, I don't want to get in like, gosh, did God bring this? Did Satan bring this? And, you know, and I've read a lot of people, they have opinions about that. But I don't know, and I don't think they know. But I do know, and we all agree, something is happening in the spirit world. Something is happening. Now, I don't know who struck who first, but something is happening in the spirit world. I have no question about that. And I have no question that God is using it for his people. God is not up there going, oh, golly, my people are just suffering terrible. Don't know what we're going to do, you know. I just, you know. Maybe if they all wear masks, they'll get better. Do you think God's saying that? Now, I'm not saying you wear a mask is good. I'm not against it. I'm just saying that's not God's first thought of what's happening. See, so he knows what's going on. He fully knows. Just like he did when he knew what. I know what's going on with Judas, so I send Jeremiah. I'm telling you. He knew what was going on in the northern tribes of Israel, so he sent Hosea. He knew, and he told them. He told them like that. I'm telling you, he's telling us. He's telling his people. He said, this is not, whatever's going on is not outside his sovereignty in his hands. And I'm absolutely 100% positive that he is using it to impact his people for his purposes. Amen? So that way we can just receive it. We just receive it. God's doing it for his purposes, and he's going to get something done. And what he's going to get done is he's going to make us break up our unplowed ground because we wouldn't do it on our own. He's doing it. That's what's happening. Every one of us. We had a men's prayer group Friday, and it was, oh my gosh, it's just really, always is, just so encouraging and powerful. And so just listening to the guys and stuff, but they would all say, man, things have changed. I have to look at things different. My whole process of my life and what's happening, I'm looking at this different and how to move forward different. Things have changed. God's happy with that. He said, yeah, you have to, God, you've got to break up this unplowed ground. That's what I'm doing. I am moving my people to a position that they will break up unplowed ground and see a new freshness of the Lord, because the Lord is doing something fresh and new, and we're not going to be able to receive it unless we break up that unplowed ground where we are. Amen? So it's like, oh, yeah, it's like, I'll tell you this prayer. This is, you know, you say, God, I just want to see a fresh presence of you, you know. Oh, God, just do whatever it takes. And I'm here and I thought, oh, God, I didn't mean that. Lord, you know, I meant anything but not that. You know, it's like, gee whiz. So you got to be careful what you pray for, you know. And you know what I was telling God? I like my little plowed up field. I don't want to get in that unplowed field. There's a reason I'm not going out there, because I'm safe in my field. See, God's okay. Then I am going to have to move heaven and earth to get you to break up the unplowed ground. That's what he's doing to his church. Unfortunately, I think some of his church is kind of, you know, wigging out on him. And he's, no, we got to break some unplowed ground and receive a freshness of God's planning. God's planning. And the thing of it is, we want a freshness, but he's not going to send his abundant rain until we break up the unplowed ground. We want the rain without the work. I mean, I should say, I want the rain without the work. I don't want to, you know, condemn you on it, but that, I definitely want the rain without the work. And God said, no, you're not getting any rain until you plow up the fields. Your field. Your field. So here we are. Therefore, all this chaos we are experiencing is God moving us into a new freshness of his presence. Aren't you happy now? Yes, hallelujah. Of course, I'm the only one saying yes, hallelujah. But yeah, this is why. He's, no, I'm moving my people. I am moving my people. So they'll experience a new freshness of God. They're going to have to plow the ground to survive. I'm going to make it happen. That's what God is saying. Therefore, this is not a time of chaos. This is a time of opportunity. By the way, this is in God's, from God's perspective, and I think I can say this is pretty much all authority, from God's perspective, this is how he gives us opportunity. This is how he does it. Read through the scriptures. This is exactly how he does it. The chaos is a time of opportunity. So this is where we are. Isn't it wonderful to be here? See? I have an old friend of mine that I talked about, went to be with the Lord, the old missionary, this, you know, 40 years in the Congo. And, you know, I'm the most godly person I've ever seen on this planet. Unbelievable. And back then, you know, I've been consistent. Back then, I would complain to him. You know, I would complain. I'm a chronic complainer. So I would complain. You know, I have the Jeremiah syndrome. And so I complained to him. He always, he'd smile at me. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be alive now? And I think, well, that's not what I said. I didn't say that. You know, yeah, and then he'd go, and his eyes would get big, and he'd go, and he's about this tall. And he'd look, his eyes would get big. He said, your light is brightest in the darkness. I wasn't thinking that either. And it's like, I mean, all my complaints was just total joy to him. He just saw God moving everywhere. You know, and so, but you read it, and but that's what it's saying. That's what it was saying, and you look at this. Well, that's what the Bible says. See, read about you read the whole thing, and that's what the Bible is saying. Therefore, we got this is a time of opportunity. Now, with any time of opportunity, well, you got a choice, don't you? You got see, God doesn't make us do anything. We have a choice. We have a choice. And, you know, I'm happy. I made the choice. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven. Okay. That's the last good choice I'm making. Okay. It's the last choice for God I am making. Then I trust him. I go. And God goes, well, no, that's not how that works. That's not how it works. And so I'm going to give you opportunities to break up your plowed ground. And you're going to recognize it by the chaos around you. See, if we got our field and we plowed it up, we got crops galore and they keep coming in. We got more than we know what to do with. It's like we're just giving stuff away. We're not going to plow up another field. We just got so much now we can't take care of it. It's not till our field gets turned upside down. He's like, oh my gosh, I got to do something different. Get out of here. That's right. Because I'm doing something different and you got to do something different to receive what I want to give you, the untouched things of God. Now here we have, so in this world, the world is full of human words. Have you ever noticed that? It's full of human words and human solutions. Now, I don't know if you figured it out yet or not, but I am totally convinced these people don't know what they're talking about. They do not know what they're talking about. Now, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to go down that road. But this guy is an absolute expert in do this. And then now, 2 months later, he's telling us to do the opposite. I said, what'd you do? Get a lobotomy? What? How can you say that? And he just says it with a straight face. I mean, if we didn't have, you know, good memories or, you know, things videotaped, we'd never know. He said that over there, and he's saying this here. And you listen, and you're going, I don't think that's going to work. But they will attach expert, and we say, okay, it must go work. No, just watch long enough, and you're going to find one thing they're not is expert. Okay? They're not. And so, you know, I've even had, it's science, you know, I hear, and I'm kind of getting off now. It's science, you know, and it's like, well, wait a minute, here's like science. Okay, if you have a ball and you drop it, gravity takes over and it pulls it down, right? That's science, okay? Science is not if you have a ball, you turn it loose and it goes up. Well, that's what their science does. Some of their balls goes down, some of their balls goes up. I go, that ain't science. It's not science, okay? It's intellectual delusionment, but it's not science. So all I am saying is we all these words and solutions, we have the solution. And the human solution and what the Bible says is to take God's word and speak the truth. That's our job. Take God's word and speak the truth. Our job is real simple. Now, look at what it says in Hosea. I just think it's interesting. Hosea 14:2. It says this. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Now, ain't that funny? I'm going to return to Jesus. He's like, take some words with you. You know, say something. I mean, take some words with you. If you heard something, take some words with you and return to the Lord. That means you're acknowledging and speaking the things of God and what He says. You're taking words with you that's countering all these multitude of words and solutions from the world. So you take words with you. You take the words of the Lord with you. Now it goes on to say this, take words with you and return to the Lord. And it says, say to Him, and this is a good place to start, say to Him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously. Okay, so we're kind of, okay, I'm getting right. That's a good way to take, I'm getting right. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously. Look at what it says. That we may offer the fruit of our lips. Take words. You may the fruit that you may offer the fruit of your lips. Don't sit here and wring your hands and say, golly, we're all going to die. You know? No. You're going, no, God, you know, I mean, you want to drive people crazy. You're going to say, what do you think about this? I think God has given me a wonderful opportunity to see Him work. Now that will set the conversation. Right? That will set it. Right? Oh, God is giving it up. But no, He's given me an opportunity. I'm taking words and glorifying God, you know, because He is the one I cherish, you know. You know what that is? It's breaking up foul ground and it's receiving new, untouched freshness from the Lord. That's just one way. That's just one way. That's not the only way. So, take words that we may offer the fruit of our lips. See, the truth of God is the only solution. Therefore, we take words and offer the fruit of our lips, proclaiming the glory of God. Now, if we are so full of Jesus, if we're so full of Jesus and all this stuff, what comes out of our mouth, it flows out. Jesus flows out of our mouth. If we're full of Jesus, it flows out of our mouth. You can tell people, if people are full of Jesus, just listen. And what flows out? See those Redskins. Okay. It's like, okay. But that's the truth. So God is saying, you fill up. That's part of that breaking up that unplowed ground. You fill the fullness of Jesus, and you're moving into different areas, and you're trusting Him because things are different. Why are things different? Because He turned the world upside down. He did it. See, He's already done it. I mean, He's done that, you know. And so the choice is. But so we want to be so full of Jesus that flows out of our mouth. But that should be a natural thing. Oh, gosh, I got to say something about Jesus. No, you can't help but say something about Jesus. Look at Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, what's in your heart comes out. That's where one of the things I do. See, I confess some of these things. I really, one of the things I do before I ever preach a message, I should do it more. I try to clear my mind of anything. Like if something just really upsets me, I'm up. And I'd never be upset at any of y'all. Y'all are just so sweet in every aspect of your life. But if I have to be upset, I have to clear that up. God, I just forgive me for that. And I clear my heart and I'm not upset about that. Oh, man, Linda and I get crossways before a message. Oh, man, that's a killer. And she'll remind me sometimes. Hey, ain't nobody going to listen to you. I mean, that's terrible here Sunday morning. I mean, it's like, so I have to clear my heart. I have to clear my heart. You know why? Because what's in my heart's what I'll speak. If I'm really upset at you, okay, any of this is multiple you. If I'm really upset at you during a sermon, it'll come out. It'll come out. Nobody else may know I'm upset, but you'll know. I'll drop something on you. See, because what's in my heart? It's in my heart. You got to clean your heart up before you come up, or you're going to speak what's in your heart. And so here, out of the abundance, well, what are the abundance of our heart should be? Christ. And then that's what comes out. That's what comes out. See, and that's part of learning the unplowed ground, breaking up the unplowed ground, breaking up. Now, so the fruit of our lips proclaim the abundance of our hearts. If we fill our hearts with the things of God, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth naturally speaks. Just speaks. Speaks. Okay, here we are. We kind of set this scene up here. Here we are. Look at the world situation, our situation. And God's telling us something. Now, I picked this all out of Hosea, I'm looking at Matthew, but just what he's saying. And he's saying it to the Israelites. I mean, he's telling them, you know, and we know in hindsight what happened. But he's telling them beforehand. And so he's telling us the same thing. So here we are, and we look at the world situation, our situation, and this is what God says. Okay, you've heard some information. Not my, you know, ad lib, but the scripture. You've heard some information, therefore this is what God says. Hosea 14:9. This is what he says. He's wrapping it up. Hosea 14:9. He says this, whoever is wise, see, he cut through half the people right there. Half the people just fell off the map right there. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Why don't they understand? They're not wise. Not wise. You know, don't be running around in circles. They're not wise, okay? You know, I wish there was a shot you could give somebody and they'd be wise. They're not. They're not wise. No pill can solve this. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. What we just talked about. This is what we talk about. Then it goes on, whoever is discerning, you can discern, whoever is discerning, There's another quarter of them gone. I mean, we're cutting through people like crazy here. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. What? Here it is, bottom line. For the ways of the Lord are right. Bottom, that's it. That's not for the ways of the Lord are right. And he goes on to say, in the upright, walk in them. Okay, in the upright. Oh, the ways of the Lord are right. I walk in them. What made us upright? The ways of the Lord are right. So I just want to walk in here, you know, because it's kind of safe. You know, it's like I got all this information. So the upright walk in them in the ways of the Lord because they are right. But the transgressors stumble. Why are they stumbling? Why are they falling down? Why don't they know? How come they don't understand? Well, we'll start here. They're not wise. They don't understand. They're not discerning. And they don't think the ways of the Lord are right. And they're not going to walk on. That's why. Amen? So, that's what transgressors. They stumble in everything that's right by God. They stumble. They fall over it. They stumble in it. There, that's the answer. We're trying to look for a different... That's just the answer. Now, so, summarize it with this. Being understanding and wise, we break up the unplowed ground and seek the Lord because we know His ways are right. Don't compare it to something else. That's the issue. Because He knows His ways are right. We see these chaotic times as divine opportunities. I'm gonna try this. And God's people said, amen. Amen. This is what a great time to see God work. And I will quote Pastor Milligan, oh, your light shines brightest when it's darkest. All right. Now, I'm trying to ingrain that in my soul, but I'll repeat his words to you. And then, therefore, as we see these chaotic times as divine opportunities, therefore, we receive the untouched fruit of God. Who receives the untouched fruit of God? Who? Those who see these chaotic times as opportunities. That's it. This is the greatest opportunity in our lifetime. Yes. And this is what God... And God's telling us. Well, how are we supposed to... Read the Bible. He'll tell you. While others stumble in chaos, we take the words and proclaim the greatness of God, letting Him pour out His divine rain upon us. Just let it pour out, you know. Because we're receiving the fresh fruit, the untouched fruit of God. Amen? And so He's telling us. He's telling us here. Now, so, and we can wrap it up with a basic foundation, and this is where everything has to start. We see the error of the world's words and solutions, so we stand on the rock of the true word and solution. We know. And the rock and the true word and the true solution is Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else but Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. God, how's everybody going to know? I'll turn their little world upside down. I'll turn their little religion upside down. I will turn their little false materialism upside down. And there's only one group of people that's going to have the truth. It's my people. Now, we don't have anything to worry about. Plus, God is clearly telling us what to do. Break up your unplowed ground. For now is the time to seek the Lord. Don't think He doesn't know what's going on. Don't you think He doesn't go on. You think God knew what was going on when He's, I think I'll release my people from Egypt. I think I'll just get them out. Well, you can't get them. That's a world power. You can't get them out. Okay, how about 9 plagues? And they were begging them to leave. They were begging them to leave. They were giving them all, they'd get in the house and getting all their dishes and giving it to them and say, go! Go! See? I mean, so don't be surprised. What if Moses, the 9 plagues of Egypt, Moses out there talking to Joshua, Joshua's there, you know, Joshua, what do you think's going on? Man, things going to hell in a handbasket. What are we going to do? Joshua, man, the plagues are locusts, and gosh, it's dark, you can't see nothing. What in the world? Now they know what God was doing, so they just set. They were going, okay, we're going to do some. We're going to break up some unplowed ground here in a minute. See what I'm saying? It's never changing. It doesn't change. God doesn't change. He works exactly the same way. He is working the same way today. Today. And I'm going to go and I'll end on this because it drives me crazy. I just absolutely, it like makes me mad. And he said, the church is not essential. We'll show you. It is. The church is what makes things go around. The church is the one that pulls people out of this. The church brings the solution. Don't expect anybody to receive a blessing who declares the church non-essential. God ain't happy with that. He not. So, we know what to do. Don't we feel good? And in closing in prayer, I won't quote Pastor Milken again, just to write that. Your light shines brightest when it's darkest. I can see, that's the way he would tell me every time. Every time. We're just beaming flashlights all over the place. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Lord, even though we don't understand it all, but we thank you for this pandemic. We thank you for what you're doing with your body. We thank you for your people. We thank you for the opportunity you're giving to your people. We thank you that you're going to speak individually to your people in different ways because we're all different. And that he's going to use us to bring glory to you. And we're going to experience, as we break up unplowed ground, we're going to experience the untouched things of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.